Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man. He does not want you to look at him, and he saw some people looking at him. It's Richard Herring! Oh, man, you're much... You are, genuinely are, you're much better than last week's audience. They were, they were a load of pricks. Welcome to the show. It's Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to the 4 men who actually celebrate International Men's Day the other day, and they're a good lot of guys. They call it Rahalastapas. I don't know if that's going to catch on. Oh God, I've had a difficult week. My boiler's broken down again. I've been talking to the audience about this beforehand. They don't want to hear about it again. And I've been doing loads of stuff today. I was up at 5:30 this morning because I've got children and a boiler that doesn't work. It's not a nice combination. And then I've come back into London to do some interviews, and it is so horrible here. Who lives in London? Cheer. No, you're idiots. I was unfortunate enough because I've been doing stuff all day to travel on the tube at Russia. I had forgotten that, man. It is such a bizarre thing. You just accept it when you live here. You're literally pressed, your face is pressed against another strange human being's face, and you think, I just was so angry in this tube, and then I was leaving the tube and going down the corridor, and people coming towards me, doing a shortcut down the wrong corridor. They know they're coming the wrong way. They think they're doing a shortcut, and there's people coming off the tube. I honestly think those people should be executed on the spot. I was thinking of this happening. It's so annoying. They've shown no regard for law and order themselves. If you're coming the wrong way down a corridor on the London Underground, anyone coming the right direction is allowed to do anything they want to you. That's anything. It's Hunger Games.
to steal from you, assault you, whatever. And that's what I thought that would be more popular here in London. I've had a week of it's ridiculous living in the country, but I've had this kind of week of slapstick. We had a bird in the house that came down the chimney. I mean, that does, at least that doesn't happen in London, does it? Because all the birds have died flying over the toxic. So I was flying around the house. I didn't realise how scared I was of birds until there was a bird flying around my son's bedroom. I then managed to open the window and escaped. It wasn't stupid, but that was weird. And then I was up in my office and I noticed that either my cat or that bird had knocked a load of drawing pins onto the floor, right? But I was in a rush and I thought, that's fine, I've noticed it, I'll tidy that up tomorrow. And then the next day I had a come upstairs, I had some stuff to do in the office and I was in a real hurry and I wasn't wearing any shoes. And I sat down at the desk and I felt this sharp pain. I went, ah! And then I moved my foot. And then I found another sharp pain. I looked at my foot and I had two drawing pins, one up to the hilt in the heel and one in there. And so I knelt down to take them off and then knelt on some more. And, you know, I wondered, is slapstick funny if no one is there to see it? But apparently... But my feet are so old. I'm such an old man. They're leathery. My feet are essentially dead. They die... The way you die is upwards. It just kind of works. So the bottom of my feet are dead. It barely hurt, I have to say. It did hurt a little bit, so there's still a little life left in me. That's just slowly, death creeps up you. And it comes here as well. It starts at the bottom and here. Those are the first two bits to go. Anyway, good, we're having fun. That's the main thing. Because that's all we got tonight. We're running on air. So we're running on fumes, I mean. Right, let's go. Can't even talk properly. Our guest tonight is probably best known and most impressively known, and I'm going to mainly talk about this from her appearance on Tipping Point, Lucky Stars. Don't think I've had anyone on yet who's actually been on Tipping Point. That's why we're here tonight, to talk about that. It's Catherine Ryan, ladies and gentlemen. Catherine Ryan. Thank you. Come on in. Come on in. You've been here before. Do you like the new chairs we've got? These weren't here before.
Do you know what? I'd forgotten about the old chairs, but yeah.
The backstage, I could go and get one and show it to you and see if you...
No, why? Why reminisce? Because the new chairs are the chairs we have now. Yeah. Let's move forward with the new chairs. Okay. Aren't we so lucky to have these chairs?
They're pretty nice. So let's talk about Tipping Point.
Do you know, when you said that, I was like, no, I wasn't. And then, yeah, no, I was. I'd forgotten about that. And that was a very recent game show.
It was.
I don't know, ITV Daytime. Who's interested? It was a good show.
It is a good show.
It was really addictive.
Well, I love Ben Shepherd. I've met Ben Shepherd a couple
an angel.
Of times.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good. He's a nice guy.
No scandals thus far.
No.
And that's a big deal right now.
It's because he loves just coins coming down the shelves. So he's not interested in anything else other than that. What was your tactic at playing Tipping Point?
I was on with a very clever former MP called John.
Okay, yeah.
I know they're all called John, but I...
I can only think of John Smith, and I don't think it was him, unless it's... that might answer the question, have you ever seen a ghost? I might take that one off.
No.
John.
This guy was cool. I'd met him before, I feel, on Would I Lie to You? And I think he's like...
John Prescott.
Maybe.
Okay. Was he a sort of bluff northern fellow?
No, he was bigger and like he'd done some like espionage, I think.
Okay.
I feel like he snuck into a consulate. I think he said that story.
Okay.
And I feel like on Would I Lie to You, it was one of the true stories. Okay. I don't know. Does anyone know who John is? Anyway, he was great.
It's who?
John Major.
John Major. No. He snuck into a consulate.
No.
If you can. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't think I was going to be smarter than John Major, but I beat him. And then the other guy was a footballer who's like from Essex, yeah? And he's like, oh my God, I know the answer. But he never did. And I was like, I can beat him. And then I just wanted to win for my charity. And you know what's really weird about hip-hop versus my life? Is that when rappers are like, I'm going to buy my mama a house, everybody's like, you go there, 50 Cent. You know, they're encouraged. Mm-hmm. But I lost a bunch of money on another game show for a charity. And then I said way back then, you know, I feel really badly for risking this money and losing it. And I care a lot about the charity. So in my lifetime, I will try really hard to repay the money to the charity. And on Twitter, everyone was like, oh, you can go and fuck yourself. You think you're going to have that much money in your lifetime, you greedy bitch. And I was like, I want to help. And so thanks to Tipping Point and some other, you know, charitable endeavors, I have paid that charity back.
Hooray, you
showed
those.
So I was happy, yeah.
You showed those people on Twitter.
So in your fucking face, Twitter. I'm going to buy my mama a house.
How good were you at describing what you imagined the coins were going to do on each? Because that is my favourite bit of Tipping Point, is just him going, what do you think is going to happen? And go, let's wait and see. Well, it's literally 5 seconds. Should we just wait and see? I mean, I don't know. It's random. That's sort of the point.
Do you know it's such a good show?
Yeah, it is.
It's gripping. They should call it Gripping Point. But I feel like Ben Shepherd, because that's his all day, every day, 24/7 gig. Well, it isn't. He has many others. But with that, he really knows. And I feel like he's messing with me. He was like, oh, yeah? What do you think that's going to do? I'm like, you already know, don't you? But I don't. I can only guess. But he's like a whisperer of Tipping Point. He knows.
Was it revealed that there are people doing it? It's just people pushing him. I mean, the ones in the arcades don't have people pushing them, do they? It's
how
like a TV show.
How do you have
show.
This intel? What do you know that I don't? You're making the accountant.
I mean, I didn't ask you because I thought you had insight. It was revealed in the newspapers, I believe, unless it was you that told me. Oh, did you? And you just happen to be the person that I say, is that the case? Yeah, it is, Rich. It's me, I tweet you, it's a secret. Is it a secret? No? Okay. Yeah, but the accountant. Well, you've dobbed him in. The accountant for Tipping Point is wreck Tipping Point for the people who thought that ITV could afford a machine. Surely a machine. Everywhere else in the world is mechanising stuff and getting rid of people. Tipping Point going, just get a bloke with a broom, push that. Yeah. Okay, there's a bloke in it. Is it like Windy Miller inside the... I mean, God, that's a reference. I'm surprised anyone got that. So don't worry. Don't worry about that one, Catherine. I don't think you'll know. Do you know Windy Miller? He was one of my childhood heroes. I loved Windy Miller. Did you have Windy Miller in Canada?
Is that a person's name?
Well, he's not exactly a person. He's a small figurine, a figure.
I used to enjoy figurines.
Yeah, well, he's a puppet.
Okay. No, we didn't have him, but I like the sound of him.
It was Trumpton and Chigley in Camberwick Green. Did they not make it across?
His name was Windy and he lived in Trumpton.
Oh, yeah. They may have been having some fun with us.
You liked him.
Was it Brian Cant narrated that? Yeah. He sadly passed on now. They all go eventually. From the feet up, that's how it works.
That is it.
So, let's talk about you. It's been 3.5 years. When last time you were on, I didn't have any external human children.
No, I know.
I had one internal one last time you were on. That's
you
how
have
long it is.
Millions of internal children.
I do. I wouldn't say millions, not anymore. One or two.
I think, guys, I'm not au fait.
Yeah.
On like the entire life cycle of sperm.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in sperm or their journey. But I think you have them forever and ever and ever, and like a 90-year-old man can have babies.
I think the party becomes less well attended, I think, is the is the, and well, certainly, I mean, I am very interested in sperm.
Okay.
And my own sperm, and I would say the consistency of it is not as gelatinous as it once was.
Comes out just like a noodle.
It does. Sometimes more like a sort of dust, a dusty spray.
Oh,
but if you're on a good day, like, you know, a very small...
Okay. Okay. So for men, then, you know how men care about being bald or not, whereas women don't care if men are bald or not?
Okay.
Do men care about, like, load size in the same way that we don't care.
I think probably they do.
Does it directly affect your ego?
I think probably, again, as with the influx of pornography, that men become concerned about the size of their penises compared to the pornographer men.
Yep.
And sometimes women. And also, those guys can really shoot some stuff out. I mean, I think there's someone with a little pastry-ish thing, you know, shooting it in there, I think, sometimes, because that's just it's unnatural. Has he got any friends who work in that business? Is the accountant of that? Yeah, it's not real sperm. It's like a flowery paste they make.
The accountant knows. He always knows.
What were we saying? How did we get onto this? Anyway, no, yeah, I didn't know. It's a while since you've been on, and so in the time... In the time since you've been on, I've produced two children. You've done quite... Your career's done quite well. I'm not saying as a direct result of being on...
I've been inspired by your virility.
Yes. So, yeah, you're doing a lot of... You know, you're almost ubiquitous.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But that's a good thing. I mean, it's good to get some women on panel shows. It'd be nice if they weren't all you. That's but it helps. It's a start.
True.
But it's very good. You are extremely good on them. I was enjoying, and I bumped into you in a dressing room somewhere just after How Did You Get So Rich was on, which I really enjoyed that series.
I really enjoyed making How Did You Get So Rich. Thank you for saying that. It was cool.
So did you see this show? This was you going around meeting lots of billionaires and asking them how they got so rich, basically. But
yeah, it's an old show that Joan Rivers used to do in America, and then Channel 4 chose to make it here, and they chose to make it with me, and then I purposely didn't rewatch any Joan Rivers ones because I didn't want to be, you know, like trying to act like her, mimicking her. And I think she was super tough, and I'm glad that she was, and she needed to be. But with me, I was like, well, I am curious and friendly, so I think it's really easy to make fun of those people. But I liked a lot of them. Like, I'm super pro mafia now. I met this guy who made more money for the mob since anyone, apart from Al Capone. And then he went to prison for like a while, I don't know, 10 years. And then he had to pay the government back $20 million for this gasoline racketeering scheme. And when he explained it all to me, I was on his side. And white collar crime feels like a victimless one. Mm-hmm. And... like governments, as we know, they have lots of unintended victims, you know, when the U.S. is like, we tried to get them, and then they blow up a hospital. But the mafia don't do that. They only kill other mafioso, he promised me, and I like that. I love that. I really liked him. And now he owns this dance studio.
Right. I thought there were some guys who were dicks on there, though.
Just one.
Yeah. Well, you were good with him because...
You're
good because you weren't rude to it. You weren't rude to him, but you undercut him, I think, in a really clever way. I liked the way, you know, they wanted to impress you as well. That was what was nice. And you let them, you sort of reeled them in and let them take the piss out of themselves, really, I think, whilst still being subtly... Well, is that right? I mean, is that fair?
In some cases, I really didn't like one. And then I was just like, well, you know, let's just let him... hang himself on this show. And then he did that. And then all the others, I really loved them. I really get along with most people, I think. And I can disagree with people and still... Like, one of my best friends is a Tory. So, you know, like, whatever. We're all different. I know. But it's like, he's a really good dad, so...
Yeah. Good. Well, you talk about Joan Rivers, and you know you are compared to Joan Rivers a lot. I mean, partly I think just because there's a vaguely similar accent, even though it's not.
And
that
I do love the glamour.
Yes,
I love the glamour.
You know, you've got a vaguely similar style in that. You know, she. I mean, I think, I think maybe the similarity of me is that off stage she was a very supportive and kind person to other acts, wasn't she? I think is the.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've never met her. I had tickets to her Royal Albert Hall show, and then she died.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other people have met her, and I really wish that I had, but I heard she was so nice.
Yeah. No, I think I've heard that. And that's what I hear about you.
Well, people who are happy are really nice. It's really easy to be nice when you have everything you want.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm really happy. I'm really grateful and happy. Like, every single day, I'm like, oh, it's all still here. You know, like, I'm really, I don't know what, like, I feel lucky to be alive, if that makes sense. Just every day, I'm like, oh, and, like, I'm a kid in a theme park. I don't know. I'm just really grateful and lucky and happy. And I think I'm garbage. So then all the things that happened in my life that are fun, and my daughter's healthy and happy, and I have these tiny dogs that shiver and piss from their eyes. It's like, I never wanted anything more than that. So why would I be a dick?
But plenty of people are, and plenty of people kind of raise the drawbridge and, you know, and
I don't think they're very happy though.
No.
You know, if you're happy, then you're nice.
Do you think, you work with Jimmy Carr.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he's happy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like him.
I do. I really love him, actually. But he works so hard. I was thinking about him the other day, and I just think, like, he works every day and makes a lot of money and doesn't pay any tax on any of it.
He does. He paid all of that back, and he doesn't do a song and dance about that, but he did.
I'm joking. But okay. He's got a lot. He's got more money than anyone could ever spend.
I think he could spend it.
I just sort of, you know, I wonder why he works as... I mean, you know, he loves the job and he loves the comedy.
Yeah, because we're so lucky because this is his job. So, yeah. Of course, he does it as often as he can. I love him. I think he's an incredible man. He's always so nice to me. I love his partner. I love their dogs. I really judge people based on their dogs.
Yeah.
I think he's, like, smart and generous, and I love how hard he works. And anytime I think, well, I really just want to, like, sit at home and eat cheese, then I'm like, nope, you can't do that. We're so lucky. And I think it's like a foundation of gratitude. And then he works a lot because he loves it.
Yeah.
And people come to see him. And that's such a privilege that people come to see you on purpose. So he does that. And then he parties. He, you know.
Yeah. As long as he's enjoying it. That's all I'm saying. Just I hope he's finding some time to spend some of the money.
Do you hope that?
I do hope so. I generally do. I generally do like him. I mean, no, I know him and I'm friends with him. And, you know.
Yeah.
I don't get invited to his posh party. I'm a good friend.
What? No, I mean, why wouldn't he be happy? Are you happy?
I am happy, yeah.
Yeah.
With the little that I have.
You have a lot. You're so talented, and you have this beautiful family, and you're married to one of the best women that there is.
That is true. And but, you know... There's got to be better, though, right? There's still got to be better. I'm gonna reel her along for a little bit longer and then see how it goes. I'm so incredibly lucky. I met her when I was still just a little bit attractive, and then the minute we started dating, look at this, and she's stuck with this. There's no way out, as I understand it. In the current laws, I'm allowed to divorce her. She's not allowed to divorce me. There's no way anyone else would be interested in this.
That's not true. You're attractive. What? In spite of your, like, powdered sperm, you're attractive.
Some people like that.
Yeah. Some people like that.
Yeah.
And they, you know.
It's easier to transport long distances because you can just add the water at the other end. So it's very efficient.
I think it's easy to compare yourself to other people and to be like, well, but you really have to get out of that and just be, I'm not religious, but then maybe in a weird, like, roundabout way I am, because I think if you are just grateful, if you wake up every day and you're just instantly grateful, you'll be so happy and you won't even be cross. Things have happened to me that should make someone cross sometimes, and then I'm like, meh. And then I'm just, I mean this, and I always talk about this, it sounds really wanky, because it is, but like, it really helps, and then you don't have room to be angry or feel jealous or upset or like anything bad has happened to you.
No, sure. I mean, I think it took me a long time to realize that, certainly when I wasn't your age, I hadn't realized that. So it is very true. I'm going to ask you some of my new emergency questions, one of which we've nearly alluded to. Well, it's not quite newish ones. I got bored of doing the other ones, and some of them are going to be old ones. If you had to have sex with a right-wing politician or someone who was a Tory or right-wing, if you had to, which Tory right-wing politician would you have sex
Jacob
with?
Jacob Rees-Mogg, and I would hate fuck him to death.
Good.
And I'd abort his baby as well. And I'd be so grateful. Thank you.
Okay, here's another. That was good. I'll ask you another.
She's just so nice.
This is this could be interesting. This is a new question. What did you abhor as a child? Yeah, get me. That you now like. I used to. I'll tell you why I came up with this question. And I think I might have mentioned this before, but anyway, I used to go to Western Supermare to shop. That was the nearest big town when I was a kid. And there was a coffee shop on Western Supermare High Street. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they ground coffee and sold it to people. And the smell, I had to run all the way up the street past that shop because I couldn't abide the smell. And now coffee is my favourite thing.
Ooh. I don't remember any smells from childhood.
I remember some smells from childhood. I did some good ones. We were talking about this backstage.
It
doesn't have to be a smell. It can be something you didn't like eating. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, maybe it's a terrible question, but...
No, it's a cool question.
It's a good question.
Cool. Because we do change and, you know, they say every 7 years, all your cells are different.
Yeah. You've got a different skeleton than you had 7 years ago. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Your skeleton is completely different.
Everything. Yeah. Everything's different. I love that fact.
Your brain cells, though, right? They stay, David.
No.
They change as well, or they stay?
They stay.
You've only got so many brains. David's a nuclear physicist. He knows about this sort of stuff.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. Do you watch Big Bang Theory? Do you like it?
It's a bit of a busman's holiday for you, isn't it? That's sort of just what your life is. There's a woman living across the corridor. She's out of your league, but for some reason she's married you. Yeah.
No, children love that show. I think they like to know what to expect, and with really defined characters, like in stereotypes, they try to make fun of nerds, and I don't like that, David. But my daughter watches that show too. She would love to meet you. She really wants to be a nuclear physicist.
Right, which can come in, you know.
You see how they rebel?
I think he's... most of the blokes in the front row, I wouldn't advise bringing to meet your daughter. But I think David's probably all right. I mean, just look. But,
I hate it.
It's good that they're here, is what I'm saying. It's good that they're here. They're not out creating a nuisance of themselves.
Do you know my favorite? It's this beautiful lady who's got like a really festive rosé. Am I allowed a wine? Is it too late? Am
no,
I
allowed you can get,
one?
We can
so then
get
this
you a
really
wine.
Feels like a date. Can I please have a night wine, as my daughter calls it? She goes, Mommy, would you like a day wine or a night wine? Because she thinks white wine's for the day and red's for the night. She's not wrong. Am I allowed? That's really
yes,
kind of
course.
You. This is like so exciting for me to be here, Richard, because I feel like I never get to, I don't know. I get to go out, but I'm the only one who talks if I'm on tour. But yeah. This is us both talking. It's really
it
fun.
It is both talking.
And David's here.
David's here. We can have a chat with them. It's nice. But that's what I feel as well. I don't really go out of the house now.
That was really excited.
Yeah, apart from to work. Yeah, so it's nice to be here.
I abhorred as a child.
Yes.
Ireland. Okay. Now I love it.
There you go. You're partly Irish.
No, I'm Irish.
Irish. Yeah.
My dad's from Cork, and he only moved to Canada before I was born.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And I really want to go on Who Do You Think You Are, though I don't think I'm important enough to be asked. But
I think you are.
No.
I think that's the only reason I'd like to be on TV again, is so I can do that show.
Oh, but you know, I think we can get a geneticist to like dig it up, because my dad's super Irish, too Irish, like. Not that it's bad to be Irish, but it's bad to be, like, very concentrated. Do you know what I mean?
I love Ireland, so I can't...
No, I love Ireland, but, like, I think it's really beautiful how... Thanks!
Hey.
And I know you asked me before, and I was like, no, thank you, but I was trying to be good, and then I just...
Big round applause for that guy.
Thank
He's the
you.
Wine. He's the night wine.
Yeah,
He's the
yeah.
night wine manager.
I think it's really beautiful that if you do those genetic tests, like 23andMe, for example, who sponsor this podcast. No, they don't. or MyHeritage.com. Then your ancestry, through thousands of years, like moved across the earth.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
That's what really puts racists in their place. I like it.
I agree.
Yeah, because...
One of my Christmas presents, and I haven't properly looked at it. I just opened it when I was last weekend, and I've been so busy. So I've done this.
Yeah?
You take your cheek swab, send it off. The first statistic is back 10 generations. I'm 97.8% British and Irish. Which I just can't believe. So like I've got all North England, Wales, not even Wales, where I've got some Welsh family, but then obviously not, they must have moved in there. Ireland, which is where my mother's family are from.
Yeah.
And then 2.3% from Northern Italy.
So me too. So me exactly that.
Really?
Yeah. And then that's apparently bad news.
Right.
Because we don't have like any, you know, strong Mongolian or, you know, we need other things to make us survive.
Sure.
And so you and I are like, should be throwing shit at a wall in Britain.
Yeah. Well, I did it in my Hitler Mustache show. I did a big thing about how you won't, in Britain, you won't find people, you know, everyone goes, we're indigenously Britain, you know, we're British, Britain for the British.
And they're not.
And then you go, right, all your grandparents are British states. I get everyone to stand up and put their hand up and say, if all your grandparents are British state, standing up, if all your great grandparents, if you know of great. And then by the time you get to great grandparents, it's like, 10% of people can even go back that far, but I can go back 10 generations.
Same.
And I've got one bloody Italian bloke who's turned up on a
ship
in
Middlesbrough. And Northern Italian people were blonde too, and right. I've got the exact same. That's very creepy. Okay. We should compare.
We should. And well, and then you can look at the whole mitochondrial thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really take it all in. There was a lot to take in, but I think part of my dad's one was from the Middle East. My mum's one was a bit more varied than that.
See, mine's not even that interesting. No. But then my mum...
They must have come from somewhere before they came from Britain.
No, well, we all came from this one woman in Africa, right? But it's true. But my dad's Irish, 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 like Cork, Tipperary. We knew that. And when we visited when we were little, they had this like fear. We weren't allowed outside, basically. They were like, no, it's dangerous. And Cork, when my dad was growing up without shoes, was really dangerous, but now it's not. And
gotta
now,
watch out for drawing pins.
Yeah. And so now we go back, and I love Ireland. Yeah. And I wasn't really allowed to like explore when I was a kid.
Sure.
But then my mom, just out of the woodwork, was like, oh, my family is English. I was like, what, they are? She goes, yeah, your grandmother's surname was Claridge, and you're very, very English. I was like, why the fuck are you telling me this now? Like, I've lived here for 10 years. And she's like, oh, yeah, they're really English. So I want to know now.
Yeah. Well, you can definitely get on that show.
No.
After they see you on this, they'll put you on.
Okay.
Please put me on. They don't want. I've just done it myself.
Let's both go on, because we're probably brothers.
Yeah. He could be. Just, I have to do it myself. I've done Who Do I Think I Am? That's what I've done. That's my joke. Come on. Good question, wasn't it? Good question. What did you abhor as a child? It's the abhor that makes it a good question. What is the strangest place that a cat has licked you? It's deliberately ambiguous. You can take that.
I enjoy a cat lick.
Do you?
It's very rough.
It is.
You know, it's not wet lick. That's it's true. Like a real, you know, nice brushing.
Yeah.
Nowhere weird.
No.
My cat. I have a cat.
Yeah.
You have a cat?
I've got a cat.
Just like, I'm allergic to cats, but I got one because my daughter, like if you know an 8-year-old girl or you own an 8-year-old girl, just get them a kitten because like that's all they want is just like, oh my God, Emma. And I just thought, you know, I like to do a lot of hero moves.
Yeah.
So my daughter has a pony as well. I'm out of hero moves. But our cat is a really good cat. He's called Sarah Pascoe. Yeah, famously, he's been in Marie Claire magazine. And my daughter was just like, I know, I'll name him, Mommy. I love him so much. I'll call him Sarah Pascoe because that's her favorite person in the whole world. I thought that was really lovely. And it's a good cat. He thinks he's a dog and he's like chill and walks with us when we walk all the dogs and he's cool.
I don't think my cat has ever licked me.
What?
I don't think he's very standoffish, Smithers. I had one called Lino, but then she sadly passed on to the other side. They were brother and sister, and Lino was getting a little bit affectionate, and then I killed her. No, then she died. Smithers learned from that and keeps away from me.
It's like a James Bond movie.
Well, Smithers is a really James Bond cat. He's a big, white, really fluffy Persian cat, but he's deaf, and that's why he doesn't lick me.
Maybe if you smear some... I was thinking this today. How come cats, like domestic cats, all their food is sort of tuna or salmon? It's like fish-based.
Yeah.
But tigers eat like antelope.
Yeah.
So when did they get aquatic?
That's a good question. They really don't like water, so...
Right?
That's true.
That's a very... You add that to the next time.
I'm going to ask that.
David?
If you want to get a cat to lick you, my cat Oscar, who I had when I was a child, loved Marmite. So you could put, if you put Marmite on anything, it would lick it.
Half cats would lick it. Okay.
I just put it on my finger. I'm not weird. We'll go one more emergency question. Then there's a lot of things that have happened since 2014 I want to ask you about. Have you ever improvised a condom?
This is why your podcast is so compelling and gets so many viewers. Because no one's asked me this before. And I am controversially not a user of any birth control or condoms.
Wow.
And I've only had one child. But I think, like, I'm a serial monogamist, yeah. And I've gotten into fights about this before. And it's not, you know, I understand that we're taught from when we're small that you should use a condom, you should be on birth control. I don't like the taking of any hormones. I don't think that's cool with me. And then also I think, like, why are you having sex with someone? Why are you letting them into your house and body? But then you're like, but I don't trust that you don't have chlamydia. Like, I just don't like that. It doesn't stack up for me. And I don't have sex with strangers.
No.
So then sometimes I've had boyfriends that are like...
Someone tutted in the audience there.
Oh, I don't.
Well, I've wasted £15.50 coming here.
Like, I've never... No, I'm sorry. I will try it, but I...
Just out of politeness to my audience.
Your mouth can't get pregnant, but... I've sucked this... Yeah. No, but I don't like it. It makes me feel weird about it. Like, I don't want to have sex with a condom. I'm very, like, standoffish, but, like, once you're in, you're in. Yeah, guys. So,
good emergency question.
But the thing is, I don't know what I'm going to teach my daughter about it, because I think you definitely shouldn't be, like, raw dogging around town. However.
Yeah, but I mean, however much you think you trust your partner, you did a whole show about this subject, didn't you?
No, I didn't. About
you did a show.
Condoms.
Well, you did a show. No, about infidelity. You had a partner that was. Oh,
and it's amazing that I'm alive after dating him.
Yeah, well, it is. But if it's who I think it is. But, but you know, so you don't know. However much you love someone, they may be cheating on you. They may, you know, be dragging something in.
No, I totally rolled the dice with him, didn't I?
Hmm. So okay. In that show, you did a show that you talked about this, where you discovered a photo of... model.
Yeah, this guy was cheating on me. I have to be careful now because people sue people.
I was actually asking that not because I want the details, but because...
I'll give you the details. I don't care.
Okay, give the details.
I'll tell you backstage. Okay, so I'm careful in my shows, so I just always have to say he's a Korean businessman. And then I can say anything I want.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So this Korean businessman that I was dating he was cheating on me with a load of people, but I didn't know it for a while. And then there were definite clues. Like, I should have known. You should have told me. Nobody told me. But I'm not a shoot the messenger type of person. Yeah. But anyway, and then I found these photos in his phone of, like, a lady who was nude. And then he spun this story about, like, I was just Googling naked selfies. And I'm like, show me the website then. Don't fuck with me at all. I was like, show me the website. And he's like, well, I was cheating on you. They're so stupid. And I'm like, okay, well. And then he fell asleep. Rookie mistake. And then I looked in his phone and I found this girl's number, and I rang her, and I was so nice to her, because it's not her fault. I was just like, oh, I found naked pictures of you in my partner's phone, and I want to know how they got there. And she's like, oh my God, vibes. Oh my God, I feel well bad, yeah? All right, I'll tell you everything, right? So, like, I met him one night in London, right? And we was talking, and then one night, he texts me, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, nothing, and it goes on and on, and then that's how she talked. And then he, for some reason, was like, oh, she was a model. But I saw the photos, and, like, I get magazines, and I'm like, that's not what a model looks like. And then, he wanted to still retain some, like, that was a fashion model. And I was like, that was a hooker, and she was a hooker. But she was a nice girl. And another comedian was there, and I'll tell you who it was later. Okay. But he told me the full story later on. Anyway, rah, rah, rah. I should definitely have caught something from him, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah, and so, well, you did a show where you talked about this.
Yeah.
This recording's being done, there's a new story about another comedian who's
yes.
talked about her ex-husband, possibly. I mean, there are not many details, and I don't think we want to know the details, but it's sort of interesting. Her ex-husband is... Or possibly even her husband, I don't know if they're divorced, is suing her because she defamed him or was rude about him in the show, which is an odd thing. So, like, Sarah Millican, for example, did a whole... That was her breakthrough show, was about divorcing her husband and how that was a positive thing. It's a weird thing if you're not allowed to use... I mean, are you careful to disguise?
This is the thing. It's tricky because on the last podcast that we did,
yes.
I was a little bit, like, liberal with my chat, and then I had to go back and Richard very kindly, always a gentleman, edited something out for me because I just wasn't careful. Like, there's a time in your career where no one's listening to you, and then all of a sudden people are listening to you, and then you have something to lose, and they might be scorned or whatever, and then they'll come after you. So I think it's fair that you have to protect the people in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk a lot about my life. I talk about exes. I talk about current partners. I talk about my child. I talk about my life. But I think it's our job to tell a central truth and then decorate it with little lies.
Yeah.
You know? So you can't really be showing a photo of someone or be saying their name. You can't do that.
No.
And, you know, it's a tricky situation because my daughter one day will know if I'm ever saying anything about her dad or people in her yeah. life. So there are certain people in my life that I always protect and I don't ever really reveal too much about. And sure. I think it's fair enough to say that it's your responsibility to, like, you know, protect some personal details of someone because they have to go on and live their lives.
Yeah.
I, for example, never show photos of my daughter on social media or anything else because, I mean... You know, she wants to be a neurological physicist, and she might not subscribe to what it is that I do. So I am mindful about protecting people, not just like in a litigious sense, but I just think, whatever, it's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's the case. You know, like, and I write a lot of stuff about what my life and what's going on, and I'm very careful in my blog to never really mention anyone. You know, for a long time I wouldn't even put my wife's name in the blog.
Yeah.
And then when I was writing newspaper articles, I wasn't putting a name in it. And then when I announced we're getting married, someone, you know, people are interested because you're not mentioning mm-hmm. stuff. So they're going, oh, why is he not mentioning why is he not mentioning the name of his wife in the paper? You're going, well, because no, it doesn't make any difference. You don't know who she is. So giving a name doesn't give you any information. But then he named her anyway. So it's...
Well,
so if you create that... You know, if you create a mystery, people want to know the answer as well. So it's a difficult line to judge. But yeah, you're trying. I think for me, comedy is funny when it's if it's about me. So if it's a story about me, I don't mind making myself look stupid. But you don't want to do that around other people necessarily, yeah.
No, and like the kind of comedy that I really gravitate toward and that I enjoy is when I feel like a best friend is telling me a secret. Yeah. I love Amy Schumer, and I think whenever she speaks, she feels like a friend who's telling me something. I think there's something about her. She's very talented, obviously very deserving of all her success, but there's something extra that makes me really want to listen to her. You know, we go, oh, why her or why him or why? There's something that I love about listening to her. And I think she's telling me the truth. And even if she's decorating that truth with little lies so that she's protecting people, I feel that I'm being told the truth. So I always try to tell like a central truth. Yeah. And I think you do that too. And then you can protect, you know, Kate and the people in your life. She won't mind. She won't mind. She's cool. And that's why it's good to date comics, because they get it.
Yeah, yeah. But then, I mean, the danger is, and you're dating a comic as well. And,
am I?
He's
another Korean businessman.
Is he? Yeah. Just, yeah, but it's... because Kate doesn't really do stand-up very much anymore, but she does a little, but she sort of wants to get back into it.
Yeah, and then she's really talented.
She's really
she's
great
so
stand-up. And when I saw, that's why I fell in love with her seeing her do stand-up, you know, and she's great. But then
keep
there's
knocking her up.
Then there's like that very within within 6 years of seeing that set, I decided to break my but you know, then do you fight over the jokes at all? I mean, we don't really. There's occasional, you know, in a story when something happens, we both think that would be impossible material. But
we sort of don't speak about real issues, and then he'll come and see me on tour and be like, oh, I didn't know that bothered you. Like, he gets what I'm saying, even if I'm disguising the thing that I'm talking about. He's like, ow, that I didn't see. And I'm like, well, oh, well. I think when I speak about things, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about or what I'm talking about. But on a greater sense, it's just...
Yeah.
I think we're meant to hold a mirror up and have the people who come to listen to us see something of themselves. It's not really about us anyway.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, everything I say about Katie is all about how our marriage is going very badly and how I want to move on from it, which is, you know, I hope people understand isn't true. Just not true. So it's not, you know, but I think people hopefully get that, you know, that's the joke, isn't it? That I'm incredibly lucky to be.
You're an answer smart. They'll get it for sure.
Incredibly lucky. And you've done a Netflix special, like an official Netflix special, which my wife saw you filming, by the way.
Oh yeah, she was there. That was kind of
yeah, she loved it. And it's only you and Jimmy that UK based comics that have.
There might be more now, but at the time it was just Jimmy and myself who had done. Yeah,
it's very exciting.
It was exciting.
I liked the joke about. Whether you would become Jewish if you married your partner.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of you say. Some people don't get it, right? Some people are like, you get into trouble sometimes, but again, like, well, it's hard to explain if they don't know. Let's just leave it. I don't know.
Watch the Netflix special. It's only.
I'm not going to like do the joke. Yeah.
No, don't. You don't have to do the joke. I was just proving it.
That's kind of you to like that joke. Thank you. That means you're really. You watched the trailer.
Did you postpone gig? There was a snowstorm this week as we're recording. Mm. Did you have to postpone your gig?
Yes, I did.
You're on tour at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Your latest show. The name of which I know off by heart is Glitter Room.
Yeah.
Just looked at it on there.
Thank you.
I've never cancelled, I don't think I've ever cancelled a proper gig. I've cancelled one when I was ill. I cancelled a preview, but only because Katie convinced me I would, impregnate the audience. But I would make the audience ill as well because I had the norovirus.
Ooh.
So Katie said, you can't do that gig.
Yeah.
But I was ready to go and do it. But I had to cancel two gigs in Bath and Dartmouth.
Okay.
Where were you? Did you feel bad about cancelling gigs, or were you okay about it?
No, I didn't feel badly because it was Southend and Cardiff and Reading, and I wanted to go. But a lot of the people, we're very lucky to have Twitter now, and you can, you know, comedy's a conversation. I like that it's now a two-sided conversation. And there are people saying, like, my town road is closed or this train's not running. And they don't want to waste a ticket that for a night out that they've booked, and I think you'd be endangering more people than yourself. Like, I'm Canadian. I could have got there on Mooseback. But there are people, who would have been really inconvenienced or would be taking needless risks. So
sure.
It's just better to reschedule. And we were lucky. We got it rescheduled all for next month, so it's soon.
Do you find that people, if you do the gig, the people who can't get there complain? And if you don't do the gig, people complain? I saw other comedians saying they were getting a hard time on social media because they'd done the gig. And I'd heard people saying they'd got a hard time for not doing the gig.
I didn't get a hard time at all.
No, okay.
No, it was good. I mean, once again, I think the mute button was specifically designed for women. And I've been muting like 10 people a week for the last year. And all of a sudden, I just don't get any shit at all, ever.
You got them all. You've got, it's like catching all the Pokemon.
Yeah, I think I got them. And my life, you know, my Twitter's nice. Everybody's nice to me. They're like, good call, Catherine. Really good idea to cancel it. It was fine.
Good. I have a feeling, and I may be wrong, and I'm not a female on television, so it's probably, I have a feeling things have got a little bit nicer again on social media.
Yeah. But also,
we may have been through the worst of it.
Yeah, and I'm not condoning any abuse, certainly.
No.
And I don't think trolling is a good idea either. But I've always been really peaceful about people who don't like me. They're absolutely entitled not to like me or to disagree with me. And I think that's balance. I really like it when people are like, you fat, ugly whore. I'm like, fun. You know, there are people who think the opposite, so it's cool. So if everybody likes you, then that's weird. And if everybody dislikes you, that's probably really tough. But I think I don't like everything. There are certain things that I know are brilliant, but just aren't for me. Books. Generally books. No, I mean, I love that we all like different things.
Yeah, of course.
And my mom used to say, if we all liked the same thing, we'd all be married to your father.
It's interesting. I mean, you have a very...
Right? It's so important.
You have a very healthy perspective, which I think a lot of... It's hard to think for as younger comedians especially, but comedians, a lot of comedians just can't take any negative criticism at all, you know, so...
I really like it.
Yeah, well, I do. I mean, I search it out for really...
Even that didn't hurt my feelings at all.
That's... But I search for myself on Twitter.
No, don't do that again.
No, it's fine because it's a filter. Otherwise, you're filtered, and it's not a vanity thing because you just get horrible things. But like today or this week, I think it was today. I searched for myself, and someone said, "Yeah, Richard Herring gave me shit and said I was, you know, gave me shit about this." He's tweeting to Richard Osman, and I'd made a joke, and Richard Herring really called me a shit and did this and blah blah blah. And then I Googled my Twitter handle with their Twitter handle, and what happened is they'd made some sarcastic comment, and I'd said, I think you've misread the tone of that tweet.
Oh.
So it was quite a helpful thing. And so then I tweeted it back, and then that freaked her out.
Oh.
So
I thought you said you'd had a busy day today.
I did. I'm on Twitter having a go at trolls who aren't even trolling me. Who are secretly trolling me. But I think, you know, it's a reality thing. I think it's interesting to see. So I think exactly what you're talking about. If you block out all the negative stuff, then you might start to believe everyone loved you. And I just find it quite funny when I've annoyed people, to be honest.
Yeah, but I don't mind. There's a specific
there's some nasty stuff.
I just don't. It's not that I block or no platform people. They still have a Twitter account. I haven't blocked them or reported them. Blocking someone is an interaction. They actually really like that.
Yeah.
But if you mute them, you just don't have to. Like, you can walk through life and just not really pay attention to the things which don't matter. You really can.
Yeah.
And then you can just, like, be happy all the time.
Okay, I'll try that.
I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure out how to, like, communicate joy, like, pure joy to people, and then I'm going to give it to them. Because it's really fun.
But, you know, you are very successful, so people would say, is it easier to be happy when everything's
going your way? Yeah, no, but I learned to be like this when I had nothing. When I first moved to this country, I was 22, and I was with a partner. It didn't work out, but when it stopped working out, I was... genuinely like Victorian poor with an infant.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go back to Canada where everyone who loved me was. And I didn't have any money and I didn't have any freedom and I didn't know how I was going to get out of this relationship and then facilitate like a positive family on my own. And it was at my lowest point that I was like, okay, what do I have though? And I was like, she's fine. She's healthy. she's perfect, she's alive, then I'm young, I have mental health, like everything's going to be okay. And then I worked from there, and it genuinely is because of that, like crying on the bathroom floor, that I have the things that I have now, because I was so blessed, like so grateful and so positive when I had nothing. And that's why I keep trying to tell people, like, I am from, like, my school was like a meth lab without the science, you know? Like, I shouldn't have anything at all. Like, I shouldn't. And then it was just because I was so grateful of the things that I had that I started to attract more things. Mm-hmm. And I worked really hard, and I was always positive and grateful. And that's, like, just, you know, and I don't mean to be flippant. People have problems, and sometimes that doesn't work maybe, but, like, it can do a lot for you.
Sure. And I think, well, the drive behind that is very important. But and I think, you know, you do. It's interesting. Some people will just sit and complain about unfairness in the world. Mm-hmm. And some people, you know, and I think you do a lot of positive stuff in terms of complaining about the unfair things.
Well, yeah.
But so you still do that, but then you also have to go and do the stuff, you know, the way to turn around the injustices in the world.
But I'm privileged. Even then I knew I was privileged. Yeah. I was like, stop that, Catherine. You're the most privileged person in the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can complain about stuff, which you should do, but also if you do stuff, if you are active and proactive and do things, then that will change things as well.
Right.
So, you know, you're sort of one of the first female UK-based comedians to really break through in that, you know, 10 years ago, people could have said, oh, well, where are the funny women on TV? And it would have been hard to find them. And now, partly because of you and, you know, and this great... There is a great generation of really, I think, where the female comedians are the better comedians, and they're getting work, still not enough work, and they're still not represented properly. But, you know, it's much better than it was.
Yeah,
it's moving in the right direction.
People of color and all types of people, special. It's all changing for the better. I've always been peaceful about that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And you've been really good fighting people who think that there's no International Men's Day. And I'm grateful to you.
And I sometimes have women on this, so, you know. Sometimes.
Am I a woman anymore? Am I?
I think so. You studied city planning at the University of Toronto. I'd like to mainly talk about what that is.
So,
how do you plan a city? What is the first thing you... When you're planning a city, what's the first thing you put in? I used to love SimCity.
Yeah.
Is it the same as that?
It's like that in a way. So, that you don't think really when you live in a city about where the hospital goes and why and then how many trees are in the park and how come that's over there. And really it's a lot of admin and a lot of like signing permits for people to put a 3-foot extension on their porch. But I studied that because I was academic when I was in high school and I didn't think that I would be an artist of any kind. I mean, I'm still not. But I was like, oh, well, what will I do? And then I wanted to move out of my really small town. And they had this program in Toronto, which is like the London of Canada, city planning at Ryerson University, this university right downtown. And I was like, well, I want to live in a city. So what can I take there? And I applied to journalism and I didn't get in. And then I was like, well, I'll take city planning then. And I really liked it. It was cool. You learned about like sewage systems and things. And it was a lot of admin. And I knew it would be a super like tedious life.
I know, SimCity was the hard game.
Yeah.
So it took a lot. Not like Civilization. I play Civilization 2. It's the only game I really play.
Yeah.
And I like to get it to the stage where I've defeated everyone and then I just carry on making things nicer for everyone. That's the bit I enjoy the most after you've got through everything and then just keep on going into the future.
Yeah.
Making sure all the cities have everything they can possibly have.
That's
you have to keep on irrigating and re-tilling the land to make it keeps on going going off.
You would have been a good city planner.
And it's just like having a job. It's like what I imagine having. It's sort of like having a job where I'm God.
Yeah.
But it's what I imagine having a job would be like.
I don't think these people are God. I think they really have to deal with a lot of paperwork. But I learned a valuable lesson that I never forgot. And then I stopped going to school because I was working at Hooters. And then I was like, well, if I do the lunch shift at Hooters, I earn money. But if I go to school, I don't earn any money. So I'll just work at Hooters all day and then I'll go to school and write the exams. And I was pretty good at just winging it and getting a good mark on the exams.
Yeah.
But then attendance counted for something. And then the professor got cross that I never went. And then he failed me this one class. And I thought, no problem. I can talk my way out of this. And back then, I really thought that I could. It was the confidence that Hooters brings.
Yeah.
And then I went into his office and I was like, Professor, I think like this is why I didn't attend and I think I should pass. And I watched him and he had no interest in what I was saying. He was eating a sandwich. And I thought, whoa, like eating is a power move. And it was such a power move. And then I saw Obama did it one time. He was eating something. And I really, moving forward in my life, I've thought, oh my gosh, if you're in any negotiation, like, situation and the other person's eating, then you've lost. Because that it's such a power move. And if you need something from someone and they're like, meh, 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 just, like, eat something. And then they'll go, oh my God, that's the boss, the person eating. And he failed me. He was like, no, you failed. And I was like, oh, but I work at Hooters. Because I was so used to just getting my way. Yeah. But this man, just with his sandwich, was not into it.
Are you writing a drama or a sitcom about Hooters? Is that I read somewhere?
No, I was for a while. Yeah. And then people didn't want to make it. But I'm doing other things.
Yeah. So, because you've done a lot of acting, actually. We saw you in... we were catching up on Campus.
Oh, God.
It's on Netflix, I think.
Campus right? was great to work on yeah. Sarah Pascoe, the yeah. human Sarah Pascoe was on there. And I thought Victoria Pyle did an incredible job. But that was the hardest sort of time. That was way back. My daughter yeah. was like 8 months old when we filmed that. And I really appreciate them taking a chance on me, but I think I'm a really bad actress, really bad. And
I don't think you're bad. Yeah. I think weirdly there was something about that show that didn't quite gel and other things.
It was probably me.
No, I don't think it was.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be such a narcissist, but it's all me. No, I don't know. I don't... some of our friends are actresses and actors, and that's cool because they're comedians as well.
Yeah.
But overall, like, if you're only an actor, then... What is that? It's just like someone who's really good at telling a lie. I don't like it. I don't trust them. I live in this North London neighborhood where a wonderful actress, Anne Marie Duff,
oh, yes.
such an incredible actress. She's one of my neighbors. And I put like a thing through her door about baby classes when her baby was a baby and we were neighbors. And then she was walking down the road the next day and looked at me and crossed the road and went, oh, I could tell by the look on your face that you put that thing in my door about baby classes. And I was like, ah. And actresses are so good at, a good actor is so good at reading human interactions that they can see from across the street what the look on your face means. And I always felt like, oh my gosh, they're spies.
She just saw you putting it through the letterbox. She was watching.
No, she's just such a good actress, a really good, and I don't know how to do that, so I don't trust them.
But I think, well, it's interesting, because I'm interested in comedians. There's a lot of comedians do comedy for a bit, and then they stop doing comedy and do other stuff completely. Right? And then they become actors, or they become presenters, or they do TV stuff. But I think it's interesting when a stand-up stays doing, you know, they're doing all that stuff, and that's fine, because you mm-hmm. have to make a living, and mm-hmm. it's a good way of getting people to know who you are, mm-hmm. But you carrying on doing stand-up, clearly. So you see yourself as a stand-up more than...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love stand-up.
Yeah.
I think I'm very great, like, privileged to be able to have people come see me on purpose.
Yeah. But you see it's something interesting, because I've done, like, a lot of shows in a row, and I'm thinking I might take a bit of a break from it, just because, let's see.
Well, no one's done as many shows as you. If I'd done that many shows, I'd probably take a break as well.
And I've toured every year since the year 2000.
Yeah.
So it's like, I might not tour next year, but that's kind of a weird thing to think. But, you know, I think I'll always come back. Even though I spent a couple of years writing, I think I would come back and do stand-up again. I can't. Yeah. I think that's the main job.
If you take a year off, that doesn't mean you aren't doing stand-up.
No, of course not. But a lot of people take a long time away from it, and some come back to it and some don't. But it's interesting to me that you would, you know, I just sort of think being a comedian is the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why there's some comedians who sort of want to be musicians or actors or something else. You know what I mean? Why would you want to... You're a comedian. You're already the best. Like, a lot of comedians get to the point where they want to be taken, like, seriously. And you kind of go, why do you want to be taken seriously? That's the being taken seriously is easy.
Oh.
Do you think? I mean, being serious is easy. Being funny is, as I'm just proving in this monologue.
No, you're being funny.
I'm not trying to be funny, but it's a difficult thing. Like, you know, so like that's what I've just sort of been thinking about that. But we had Kiri Pritchard McLean on last
great.
Week. Yeah, but she's saying I don't want to act. She doesn't want to be in a sketch show because she wants to be. She doesn't want to detract from the comedy as much as you know from being a stand-up comedian.
Well,
I just thought if you've become a stand-up comedian, you've kind of won, haven't you?
I think so.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about it that much. I think some women, especially in America, sometimes if I'm gigging in LA, I do shows and there'll be. Well, no, I shouldn't say just women. It feels to me like women because I noticed them more, but. There are actors who go, oh, I'm a stand-up. And I'm like, you are absolutely not. Like, you have 5 minutes to try to make yourself interesting, but you're not.
Yeah.
And then if you can do stand-up comedy, then you should. Yeah. Like, I think that's because you want to be a comedian.
Yeah, I saw a lot in Montreal. The first times we went to Montreal in the 90s especially.
Oh, really?
That it was a lot of people had 5 minutes, men and women, and they would... They were clearly auditioning for a sitcom. You know, they were going to Montreal, the Montreal Comedy Festival. And I saw a guy, the one that really stuck in my mind was a guy who was doing 5 minutes in a club and it was all very slick and professional. Then he made a mistake in a joke and he said, excuse me, went back to the beginning of the joke, but also stepped back to where he'd been at the beginning of the joke. So he'd completely learnt this monologue. And then when he made a mistake, didn't go, ooh, how am I going to get myself out of this? Went, excuse me. When I'm on a sitcom, you could just edit that bit out, and I'll just say it was literally almost that.
Is he still around now?
I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him. So
okay.
He's probably in a sitcom.
So it wasn't like
it's probably Benedict Cumberbatch.
Good for him.
As a child, I'm sorry, I'm going on to something.
Go on,
else.
Go on.
I'm interested in this because we're getting to the end of this and I wanted to talk about this. As a child, you thought you would marry Adam Sandler.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Who did I say that to?
I don't know. I read it in the paper. I'm quite obsessed
with
Adam
Sandler.
It's true. I
really did. Oh, I'm
not
glad I did.
Not in a good way. What did you like? What did you like about Adam Sandler? Was this the early stage of his career? Did you see him in Jack and Jill and think, I have to marry that guy?
No, I was a child before that. I was just showing my daughter Violet Jim Carrey movies and Adam Sandler movies.
Okay.
And
she done something wrong?
No.
It's a good punishment. I'm going to bear that in mind for my daughter.
She loves them.
Okay.
And I think it's difficult when you loved music or anything really as a child, films, you go back to them now and you're a bit like, what? But no, I had such a crush on him and I loved... The Wedding Singer was like the most romantic thing I'd ever seen in my whole life. I loved it. And you watch old movies now and they're super problematic, especially for a feminist. You're like, but.
And someone who isn't racist.
And someone who isn't racist. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Ace Ventura, I watched last night with my daughter, and the transphobic undertones. I was like, now, Violet, you know, it isn't disgusting if somebody is born a man and then they. Spend some time.
Yeah, but
in
hey,
the
I mean
football.
That you could. You only have to go back 5 or 6 years to find.
Oh, it's really.
I mean, if
hard.
That, yeah.
No, I loved him, and again, it's the Jewish thing. Maybe I'm destined to be in that culture. No, I loved him, and then now I'm just glad I'm not married to anyone, and I'm sure he's a lovely man, and he's really good friends with Judd Apatow.
Yes.
And so Adam Sandler was very. You know, his work was formative for me. I loved him. I thought he was sweet and funny and vulnerable. And his movies were great when they were great, weren't they?
I mean, comparatively, yeah. Compared to what he's doing now, they were amazing.
Well, but isn't that interesting?
That's what I'm interested in him about. And again, I'm interested in his comedic choices. And he is really talented. And when he goes and does not a serious film, but when he does a proper film, he's really good in it. And so, but he's choosing for whatever reason. And I'm just fascinated about the choice. And it might be, hey, I'm going to do this so all my friends get work, which seems to be part of it. And so they all have a nice time. It might be like a friendly family kind of thing of looking after everyone.
But
so there might be a positive thing in there.
Jim Carrey now thinks he's like, in a different dimension yeah. than us. And he's like, ooh. He was so rude to this waitress on getting in car, comedians in cars getting coffee. This waitress comes over and she's like, my name's Hannah. And he's like, well, you think it is, but you'll find out different. And I was like, shut your whore mouth, Jim Carrey. Like, shut up. She's just a waitress, like, trying to live her life, like, dealing with, she's a single mom, like, get your weird con. I think it's dangerous to give anyone too much freedom and money. I think as soon as you go, yes, you're a genius, then how do they make art anymore? I don't know.
Well, it's true. Well, and comedians especially, because comedians, right. are, you know, because they have like a slight personality disorder of some kind, right?
Not all of us.
Not all of us, but you know, there's you can understand why, because I think when you go on and really get your first.
Yep.
ridiculous laughs of people in pain and throwing their heads back and you know you've got them, that's quite a you know, that's a powerful place to be, right? It doesn't happen very often to me, but when it happens, you just go and you get to that bit and you go, and this isn't even the funny bit yet, you know, and you've got an audience and you that is an amazing feeling. You can understand why it would drive people to believe they were, especially if they're taking a lot of cocaine, to thinking that they're, you know,
I hadn't considered that they were taking drugs as well, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe, like, certain things in your life are important and useful at that time in your life, and then they don't belong in the next part of your life. And, like, I think it's okay that Adam Sandler, for example, for me, was so important at one part of my life, and then, you know, he has other jobs now. He has kids and a wife, and I don't know. Maybe there are people who still really fancy him the way I did when I was 12.
I'm sure there are. Would you marry him if he asked you to marry you now?
I wouldn't marry anyone if they asked me. Why would I marry someone? For what?
It's a good question, and now I've done it, I am thinking the same.
I don't get it.
Just nah, until, you know, I had to go, yeah, all right.
No, I don't get it. I don't know.
Oh, God, she definitely will watch this one because she loves you. Damn.
I'd marry Katie, but she's taken.
She is.
She'll know.
I'm very happy to stand aside as long as I'm allowed to live in the same house.
Yeah.
I'll just stand in the cupboard.
As long as you don't get in the way, that'd be fine.
That's good. I won't get in the way. All you'll hear is the...
the dust. As long as we have Windex, we'll be fine. That's nice.
Oh, God. There was so much to talk to you about, and we've got to stop talking.
It's my fault. I keep talking.
No, it was amazing. We'll have to get you back in another 3.5 years to see where you are then. Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible Catherine Ryan!
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Left to Spare Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Catherine Ryan. The music, you listen to it. Oh, God, they put it on later. It's by Pest. I'd like to thank everyone at the Square Theatre. I'd like to thank everyone at the British Comedy Guide. I'd like to thank everyone at Go Faster Stripe. I'd like to thank the audience you've come to see. You're much better than next week's audience, I can tell you that. And I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz GoFasterStripe.com production for the internet. Come and see me on the tour, richtang.com. Thank you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
the podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.